Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, these are the words of God. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." And so he came aside and sat down, and he took men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, "Sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, 'Buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.' Then Boaz said, 'On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance.'" And the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel, concerning redeeming and exchanging, to confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself." And so he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. Yahweh make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Peretz, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which Yahweh will give you from this young woman." So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So in this passage, we see two prospective redeemers for Naomi and Ruth. The first is Boaz, who we have already been told is a very worthy fellow. And the second is this fellow, the man of whom he had spoken. The text kind of means so-and-so, who, behold, he comes by. This man is unwilling that his own inheritance would be thinned out by sharing. When at first he hears that it's from Naomi, he's like, "Oh, well, Naomi can't have children. That's going to double the inheritance for whatever children I end up with." And so, of course, he says, "I will redeem it." But then he finds out that he doesn't just buy it from Naomi. He'd have to buy it from Ruth. Now, Ruth is of childbearing age. And if he marries Ruth, then the first son he has would count for Elimelech and would inherit all of Elimelech's land. And now, if he doesn't have any son at all, any other son, if he just has the one son, then it would be turnabout. It would be Elimelech's household that inherits both. And so he goes from the prospect of double to the prospect of perhaps one son that isn't even under his name having all of it. And Ruth is a Moabitess. And Moabites were banned from the assembly and had a bad name. Ruth herself had a good name, but it's also possible that when he says, "Lest I ruin my own inheritance," in verse 6, that he may think that God would refuse to grant a son to him and Ruth. Anyway, he's unwilling that his own inheritance would be thinned out by sharing, and he is unwilling to take Ruth, who is a widow and a Moabitess, as his wife. So that's one of the redeemers, one of the prospective redeemers. The other prospective redeemer is eager that his brother's inheritance would not be lost to him. He says, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. He is eager to fulfill the law of God concerning preferring others to ourselves, and especially the duty of a close relative, the duty of a redeemer. And of course, he is also more than willing to marry Ruth, whom he has seen to be a worthy woman in every way, even if she is a widow, even if she is a Moabite. She is a virtuous woman, and that is far more important. But the more central point of the passage is the third redeemer. Whom do you think is the third redeemer? Yes, Victoria?
Jesus.
That's exactly right. What we see is the Lord Jesus sovereignly orchestrating the way in which he is going to come into the world, the way in which he is going to take a wife that is undesirable and unworthy in herself, the way that he is going to lay down his own life and humble himself. You can see his sovereignty at work. Boaz is in the gate, and behold, the one man in the whole city that he needed to talk to just happens to walk by. It's actually pretty amazing providence that a man like Boaz, of that character and that wealth, would still be unmarried to this point in his life. Even the fellow, the character of the fellow, and his deciding not to redeem the land from Naomi and from Ruth, and to marry Ruth, that too comes in the providence of our Lord Jesus. And so the text focuses on how how the Lord is bringing the Lord Jesus into the world to be our Redeemer, especially in the last couple lines there. Look at the blessing. Look at the blessing. Yahweh make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, reminds us all the way back to the mothers of Israel, the mothers of the seed, the one who would come, and in him all the nations and all the families of the earth would be blessed. And then he specifically mentions that may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem, which becomes a very important city, doesn't it? And it's called the city of David because David comes from Boaz and Ruth. And it is, of course, the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. And there was the prophecy, may the scepter, the king's staff, never depart from Judah, because of the offspring, the seed, which Yahweh will give you from this young woman. And one might think that that was Obed or Jesse or David. Probably David gets the most, right? But if you're not talking about the immediate seed, Obed, then who is the greatest seed of Boaz and Ruth? Is it David? Whom do you think? Okay, Victoria again.
Jesus,
that's right. That's right. And so we see right there in the elder's blessing how we are to read and think about Ruth 4:1-12. that, yes, Boaz is a picture to us of what a good Redeemer looks like. But the Redeemer that we are to see in these verses isn't Boaz, it's Jesus, who is orchestrating this because we need someone. We needed someone to take away our guilt, to cleanse us from our sin, our iniquity, our filthiness. We needed someone to make us right with God, to beautify us and get us ready so that on the last day he will present us as one body, one temple, one nation, one bride. He'll present us to himself as one bride without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So I want to see you that it's not just Naomi and Ruth who are being redeemed here. It was us, because Jesus was orchestrating his coming to save us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for this portion of your word. And we thank you for putting little clues in it to point us to Christ, that we might read and understand it rightly, because truly we are so earthly minded and easily distracted by other things. We thank you most of all, Lord Jesus, that you are the Redeemer who ruled and overruled in all of the events leading up to your coming in order that you might come and save us. We thank you that you are ruling and overruling in all of the events in our lives, because having given yourself to save us, you are now doing everything in your providence for our good to apply unto us that salvation. Help us remember that we might see your love to us in everything that happens all day, every day, just as we have seen your love to us here in these verses. And that we might respond by loving you because you first loved us. Pray that you'd help my children, that they would see divine redeeming love in Christ everywhere they look, that this would sweeten all of their duties, all of their tasks, even sweeten their joys and pleasures into things that are beyond what earthly things can produce. And that you would then grant them, by a response to this sweetness, a resolve so to serve, so to honor you in everything that they do in every one of those situations. Of course, I ask that you would do that for me and Mom as well. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your salvation. Blessing and glory and honor might be unto your name. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.